morning. The first being the Christmas story. It's in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. Page 1590 in your pew Bibles. In those days, Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went out into his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Well, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Well, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Well, this will be a sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Well, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. So when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what he had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Our second scripture I chose for this morning, I'd like to read from Micah 5, verses 2 through 5a, actually. Page 1445 in your pew Bibles. Micah 5, starting at verse 2, we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Well, he will stand and shepherd his flock in strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We're going to do a short recap of my message. Because if you want to read the whole thing, guess what? We got a website that you can go to and you can find it. And hopefully Jim's going to send it out. Because I wrote a little thing about small towns, about Bethlehem. Because I got really thinking about it one more time. So, and I happened to read an interesting thing that was about small towns. And it gave a list of how you knew when somebody was from a small town. Which, who here isn't from a small town? Well, see if you think any of this is true. So a baby born on June 14th receives gifts from local merchants as the first baby of the year. June 14th, yeah. Or you speak to each dog you pass by but name, and he wags his tail at you. Or maybe you can't walk for exercise because every car that you pass offers you a ride. Or you can name everyone you graduated with. I must have been from big town. I can't do that. Or you have to drive an hour to buy a pair of socks. Or you get a whiff of manure and think of home. I thought this was a pretty good list. Or if someone asks you how you feel, you actually listen to them. Or there's no town idiot because everybody takes a turn. I think that's very true. That was the wisdom of today. But Jesus was born in a small town to fulfill the prophecies that we read. And Bethlehem reminds us that God can use ordinary people in extraordinary ways, can't he? I thought about it, and I was thinking about that again, because Bonnie and I, as we do, I think every year since I can remember, we take the time to watch It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you do that? I think everybody does that.
It's on all day today.
Is it? Well, Jimmy Stewart, who starred in that, he wrote quite a long thing about what it was about and his reflections on it. And as I was looking at that and looking over what he wrote, I put it in a message today in case somebody hadn't read it. But basically he said it's simply about an ordinary man who discovers that living each ordinary day honorably with faith in God and a selfless concern for others can make for a truly wonderful life. And how true that is. I see I can put one person to sleep. Our newest member.
Jim's next.
Jim's next. I know. So you think about this. Jesus came from this small town. And what does God choose to do? Not what the Israelites expected at all, did he? I mean, they were expecting a Messiah, a great king. A king, a warrior king, actually, to come. And he would come from probably some great big mansion, some big place. And what'd they get? They got a carpenter. Can you imagine that? A carpenter came to save the world. What a surprise. I thought about that as I think you got a mechanic to come and be your pastor for the last 15 years or whatever it's been. That was a surprise to me. But I think about this, and I thought about how special it was. A guy can take, and we see this in everyday life, that an ordinary person, and use them in extraordinary ways, can he? The second thing I got thinking about was little towns, they remind us often that we have a sacred heritage, don't we? Everybody knows everybody's business in a small town, don't they? Pretty much. And we all come from the same place. I'll bet you, I know years ago, you couldn't come up over Franklin Hill all the way from 29 and end up in New Milford and not have a relative in just about every house in one way or another. And what do relatives do? And I mean, what do we all do? We share our traditions, don't we? We develop this sacred heritage in our own communities and how we live, and we carry them in, guess what, throughout the world. That's the advantage of being from a small town. Jesus did the same thing. He connected with the people in that area. He didn't spread out. He didn't go all over the place like Paul was sent. Jesus was confined. Think about this. So when we think about traditions, and I got thinking about that word, and I thought about the Latin word is tradito, which means to be handing over. Isn't that our tradition? Isn't that what we do? We hand over. We hand over our songs we're going to sing today, the stories. Everything in our lives, we have to hand it to the next generation. And it gets carried on. It gets carried on. The next thing you know, it goes from one generation does this. My family, when we get up on Christmas mornings, we do a certain thing. And I'll almost guarantee you that they pass that on. Our children pass that on to their families. And it grows and it grows and it grows. Isn't that what the message is all about? Isn't that why Jesus came? From a small town, isn't that why we had candlelight service last night? So we can pass that light from one to another. And from there, it grows. And probably the most important part of this whole scripture that I looked at is that Bethlehem reminds us that God is with us. Emmanuel. Listen again to what Micah wrote. He said, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Well, I really love those words. He will be their peace. I mean, Christ doesn't simply bring us peace. He is our peace. Where Christ is, there is peace. I mean, perhaps I wrote here, I said, perhaps your life is filled with conflict and unhappiness, emotional pain this season. And that is true for many people. And all the happiness of the season of the year can mask the desperate hurt that many people really feel. They too often forget that when Christ dwells within, there is peace. When this Christmas day comes to a close, and you go and collapse in your bed and say to yourself, "Well, thank God that's over." What are you going to do? What should you know? Maybe you should take the time, close your eyes, say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Dwell within me, for I need that peace." And I'll bet you find that that's exactly what he does. Comes into our lives to bring us peace, because if he is in us, he is our peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.